Also, her name wasn't in the bulletin this morning, but we want to give her recognition and thank her for adding her voice. It's wonderful to be here this morning. Dan called me yesterday on a different subject, and he was asking me, since I hadn't been here the last couple of weeks, if we were thinking about changing our membership to a different branch. And I reassured him that with 100% surety that that would not be happening anytime soon. I did have a responsibility in another branch for the last couple of weeks, and it did give me a really, truly deep appreciation for each one of you as I was a part of their branch for a little bit. This morning, we have several changes. Obviously, my hair is not dark enough to be Richard Sanders, or I don't have enough of it. And we won't talk about Gary Fry, but Priest Gary Fry will be filling in for Brian Perry with the invocation. And our speaker today is 70, Nathan Scheer. And most all of us have had the privilege of growing up or watching Nathan grow up and his love and for his Heavenly Father and for the joy that he has for his Heavenly Father. And on my left is Mike Hancock. And as he spoke to not too long ago, we all know that of his love, and that he definitely has a few things to say about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will be bringing our benediction. Our call to worship this morning comes from Doctrine and Covenants, Section 12, starting with 1A. A great and marvelous work is about to come forth unto the children of men. Behold, I am God, and give heed to my word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of both joint and marrow. Wherefore, give heed unto my word. Behold, the field is white, already to harvest. Therefore, whoso desireth to reap, let him thrust in his sickle with his might, and reap while the day lasts, that he may treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. Yea, whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap, the same is called of God. Therefore, if ye will ask of me, ye shall receive. If ye will knock, it shall be opened unto you. And from section 13, the third verse, and now, behold, I say unto you, that the thing which will be of the most worth unto you will be to declare repentance unto this people, that you may bring souls unto me, that you may rest with them in the kingdom of my Father. Would you turn in your hymns to hymn number 385, The Savior at the Door. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this day that we have had the opportunity to come to church and worship in a land that allows us to, unlike a lot of other countries in this world. We thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us over the years, and we ask a special blessing on Nathan this morning that he might deliver your word. And we ask another blessing on the people in the congregation that they may receive it with all their heart. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Scripture reading this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Moroni, chapter 10, verse 17. And it says, "And Christ truly said to our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. Now I speak to all the ends of the earth, that if the day comes that the power and the gifts of God shall be done away amongst you, it shall be because of unbelief." Talking about the lectures on faith is what I'm going to be using as most of my text here. I can remember the first time I'd ever heard of the lectures on faith. I think I was in junior high and had a class at camp. And when I first heard about the lectures on faith and we started to study, I was like, oh my goodness, this is so deep. I couldn't understand it and I thought it was boring. But this is definitely a book that has changed my perspective and has really changed, it's really changed my life and my idea of what faith is. To start off with, you know, what is the Lectures on Faith? Let's go ahead and let's look at section 1 of the Doctrine and Covenants. And if we look at the very top of the page on section 1 of the Doctrine and Covenants, it says, the covenants and commandments of the Lord. The Doctrine and Covenants that we use today is really just the covenants part of the Doctrine and Covenants. When the Doctrine and Covenants was first printed, the doctrine part of the Doctrine and Covenants is Lectures on Faith. And so, you know, the Lectures on Faith is really the doctrine part of the Doctrine and Covenants and has been used as scripture for our church. And so, today I'd like to start off by what is faith? And I'd like to kind of have a little bit of a discussion, more like class for all of us as opposed to just me speaking at you. But what is faith for you guys? What do you believe faith is? Okay. Okay, Hebrews 11:1 says the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? What does that mean? The assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, I have a little bit of experiment. Okay, Chansey. I have $1 in that hymnal. This hymnal right here. You can come and get it. Now before you get it, have you seen a dollar bill in that hymnal? Okay. Exactly. So now what prompted Chansey to come and to look and see if there was a dollar bill in that hymnal? Oh, okay. She had an assurance that what I was... You can go back and sit down. She had an assurance that what I was telling her was right. So really, faith is more than just a belief. Faith is the driving force behind everything that we do. In Lectures on Faith, in the first lecture, verse 10, says, if men were duly to consider themselves and turn their thoughts and reflections to the operations of their own minds, they would readily discover that it is faith, and faith only, which is the moving cause of all actions in them. Without it, both mind and body would be in a state of inactivity, and all their exertions would cease, both physically and mentally. So faith is the driving force behind everything that we do. I want us to think about little kids. You know, when little kids are first born, they don't do a whole lot. They eat and they sleep and that's about all they do. But as they begin to experiment upon things, they begin to do more things because they begin to realize, oh, if I do this, I can do this. Now, with Eli, we're working on him with walking. And, you know, he knows crawling really well. He can crawl anywhere he wants and get anything he wants. But as parents, we know that there's something better for him. And he has not achieved that faith that's able for him to walk. You know, he knows that as he continues to walk, as he tries to walk, sometimes he falls down. And so he hasn't gotten that faith to where he can take his first steps. And a lot of times that's the same way it is with us. In our lives. You know, God has a better plan for us. God has things that he knows would benefit our lives. But hey, we're comfortable crawling. We fall down too, you're right. And sometimes it hurts. And, you know, we need to realize that God knows what's best for us. Now, so that's kind of what the first lecture talks about. In the second lecture, it talks about how faith got to be on the earth. And it talks about, you know, genealogy and that whole thing. But what's really getting down to is really there are two ways that we can obtain faith. And in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 5, D, and E.
10.
It says, to some it is given by the Holy Ghost to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he was crucified for the sins of the world. To others it is given to believe on their words, that they also might have eternal life if they continue faithful. And so there are really two ways that we can obtain a faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, it can be given to us to know through the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And then for some of us, it's our responsibility to believe on the words of those that have been given to know. Going back to the analogy with Eli, you know, Kaylee, when she was born, she had to experience everything with us firsthand. She only had that firsthand knowledge. Now, Eli has a different experience. Eli can experience that knowledge firsthand of who we are, but he can also experience who we are through Kaylee, because she can give testimony of who we are. And so each one of us has a responsibility. And I want us to think about that this week. In our lives, are we the ones that know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And that he died for our sins? And if that's the case, then it's our responsibility to seek out those that don't know and to give them faith. And if in your lives you don't know of a surety that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But your responsibility is to seek out those people that do know, that your faith might be strengthened as well. And so each one of us has a little bit of homework this next week, is to figure out, you know, where we are. Do we have a knowledge? And if yes, we do have a knowledge, then our responsibility is to share that knowledge. And if the answer is, no, I don't have a knowledge, our responsibility is to seek out those people that do have that knowledge, that our faith might be strengthened as well. In Lectures on Faith, Lecture 2, it talks about, you know, all the people that lived during the time of Adam. You know, Adam had a direct knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ because he walked and talked with him in the garden. And so the generations after him were able to receive faith as well because they were able to talk to Adam, who had that direct knowledge. In each one of our lives, you know, we need to realize where we are. It doesn't mean that you have less faith because you don't have a direct knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It doesn't mean that at all. In fact, it says that it's better for you to just believe on the words than it is to have a knowledge. So don't think you're any less because you don't have a direct knowledge. Because you actually have a greater need for faith. Because you can believe on the words of other people. Now, last week we talked about Mother's Day, and there was a scripture that I love and describes this very well. In Alma chapter 26, verse 57, it's talking about the sons of Helaman. And it talks about their mothers. And it says, we do not doubt our mothers knew. You know, they didn't necessarily have that exact perfect knowledge, but their mothers did. And because their mothers did, they were able to have a perfect faith as well. And they were able to go forward and to do amazing feats, and not one of them perished. Because they didn't doubt, because their mothers knew. And so just because we don't have a perfect knowledge does not mean our faith is any less. But our faith is very important. And we know that in the priesthood offices, you know, the office of a 70, or the office of apostle first, the office of apostle, there's special witnesses of Jesus Christ. In the office of 70, we're special witnesses of Jesus Christ. You know, we have that testimony of Jesus Christ, and it's our responsibility to share that with those around us and to help strengthen the faith of those around us. So our responsibility this week is to either share our testimony of Jesus Christ or to seek out those that have that testimony of Jesus Christ and to hear it, that our faith might be strengthened as well. Now in Lecture 3, it talks about who God is. Who is this God that we have faith in. You know, we didn't need to know a couple of attributes of him, and I have six attributes that the Lectures on Faith talks about. You know, first, God was before the world ever was created. He's from eternity to eternity. You know, something that we can't even imagine. He's merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in goodness. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is truth and cannot lie. He is not a respecter of persons. And he is love. And so when we think about who God is, we need to remember that, you know, God, just like, you know, us dealing with Eli and helping him to walk, you know, we aren't doing this to, you know, inflict pain upon him so he falls down. But we know it's better for him. You know, it's out of the kindness and goodness of our heart. You know, we're not telling him a lie. We're being truthful to him that, yes, there's a better way to move around than crawling. You know, we have love for him. And it's the same way with our Father, Heavenly Father, with us. And we need to remember that he gives us these commandments. And he tells us these things out of the goodness and kindness of his heart. And he's full of truth. So we know that we can believe what he says. And it's because of the love that he has for us that he's telling us these things. And so to have faith in that, it's easy. Because it's pure. And then lecture five. This lecture five is kind of a cool lecture. And it talks about the Godhead and what the Godhead is. And it says that the Godhead has three parts. Has two personages, the Father and the Son. One of the Son being... having had flesh, but it talks about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is the mind, glory, and power of the Father and the Son. Okay? The Holy Spirit is what makes the Father and Son one. It's what unifies them. It's their mind, glory, and power. Now, it's the same Holy Spirit that each one of us obtain when we have the laying on of hands. We're given a portion of that Holy Spirit. Now, it's our responsibility to receive a greater portion of that Holy Spirit. And as we receive that Holy Spirit, we're receiving the mind, glory, and power of God. And so we become more like God in our attributes. You know, when we receive more of His Spirit in us, we receive more kindness, or we are more kind. We're more good. We're more truthful. We have more love. We're not respecter of people. We can't lie. You know, we have these attributes in us. They become part of us. And we become more God-like. And as we become more God-like and become closer to God, we also draw closer to each other. Because as each one of us has that same Spirit of God within them, we become more kind to each other. We love each other. We're not respecter of people. And we can become one. Now, I think it's cool because, you know, as we become closer to God, and as we receive more of this Holy Spirit, we don't receive all of it at once. But it's something that we experiment upon and we grow. And we don't receive it at the exact same time. We don't receive knowledge about the exact same things. And so, you know, we can help each other. We can work with each other. I think a good example of that is Karen Bates has been teaching, you know, a class on the Word of Wisdom. The Word of Wisdom isn't something that I've, you know, studied. The Word of Wisdom isn't something that, you know, I had knowledge of, so to speak. But as she began to share with us, you know, her experiences and the knowledge that she had, you know, that's able to strengthen our faith. And that's something that we can experiment upon as well. And as we experiment upon it, that becomes part of us as well. And so, you know, that growing process to become one, that growing process to become one with Jesus Christ requires each one of us as well. As we experiment upon the Word, We can help those around us. And that goes back to, you know, lecture two, where if we have a testimony, it's our responsibility, or if we have a knowledge on something, it's our responsibility to share that so that others might believe as well. And so that's what's so important, that as we receive that Spirit within us, that Holy Ghost, we're receiving the mind, the glory, and the power of Jesus Christ. And the mind and the glory and the power of the Father as well. And if you think about that, that's really an amazing gift. We're basically, it's giving us a library card, so to speak, to the biggest library you can ever imagine. It's pretty awesome. Now in lecture six I think is my favorite lecture. What it talks about is the early saints. When I say early saints, I mean like at the time of Christ. Now if you think about these saints and the persecution that they went through, it's amazing. You know, a lot of them gave up everything that they had, including their families and even their lives. And how they were able to do that was because of the faith that they had. They had faith so strong that they knew that the course of life which they were pursuing was according to the will of God. And that nothing in this world really mattered. Because what they would receive in the world to come was better. And it was because of that faith they were able to give up everything. They were able to, you know, face the lions in the Colosseums. And they were able to, you know, see their families killed. And they were able to give up every possession that they had because they had a perfect knowledge that the course of life which they were pursuing was the course of life that God wanted them to have. It was a course of life that, yeah, I mean, they fell down and it hurt. But they knew there was something better. And it's that type of faith that we need to be striving for. A type of faith that we know without a shadow of a doubt that the course of life which we're pursuing is according to God's will. And by that faith, we can accomplish anything, even though it seems impossible. We can endure anything that is put before us. Because we know and we truly believe that God has something better for us. And we truly know that He's a God that's kind and good and merciful. And that He's a God that isn't angered easily. He's a God that is full of love and a God that is truthful. And we can endure anything. In lecture 6, it talks about how faith cannot be present at the same time in somebody at the same time that they have doubt. And so I want us to think about, you know, when we go through those trials in our lives, do we have doubt? And if the answer is yes, I have doubt, then it's our responsibility to do something about that and to strengthen our faith. And you know, in those times of trial when we have doubt, what do we need to do? We need to go back to lecture two, and we need to seek out those people that have a knowledge to give us strength to overcome that doubt. You know, some other things, you know, seeking out that knowledge from other people does not necessarily mean that you have to go and you have to talk to people. You know, you can also go to people that have gone before us. You know, you can go to the scriptures and read their testimony and how they knew and how God dealt with them and know that He will deal with us the same way. And so we can read the scriptures and increase our faith as well by receiving the testimony that those that have gone before us have received as well. Now, I want to ask you. Well, first, faith if it is the driving force behind everything that we do, we can see that faith, it is true when the scriptures say that faith is what saves us. Because if it wasn't for faith, would any of us ever be baptized? No. What's the point of being baptized if you don't have faith? You know, if we didn't have faith, would we keep the commandments of God? No, we wouldn't keep the commandments of God either. And so we can see that faith is what saves us. Because it's by faith that we do everything. That's why it's so important. That's why it's one of the principles. That's why it's one of the first steps that we have to have. And in lecture 7, 8c through e says, when men begin to live by faith, they begin to draw near to God. And when faith is perfected, they are like him. And because he's saved, they are saved, or because he is saved, they are saved also. So they will be in the same situation he is in, because they have come to him. You know, God is full of faith. And God, we know that God is saved. So as we become closer to him, and as we draw close to him, you know, we can become like him. You know, it talks about in the third John that, you know, when he comes, we shall be like him. That means we're going to have his spirit in us because of the faith that we have. That doesn't mean that when he comes, he's going to change us to be like him. No, that means it says when he comes, we will be like him. That means we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to increase our faith. We have a responsibility to continue to receive the Holy Spirit in us, that we can become closer to him, and that we can be more like him. Now, a scripture, when we think about faith, you know, I think scripture that comes to everybody's mind is probably in Alma chapter 16. And so I'm going to read a little bit about that. Alma 16, 149. It says, Now as I say concerning faith, that it was not a perfect knowledge, even so it is with my words. Excuse me. You cannot know the surety at first unto perfection, any more than faith is a perfect knowledge. But behold, if you will awaken and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yet even if ye can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until you believe in a manner that you can give place for a portion of my word. So, to receive faith, the first thing that we have to have is a desire. And if we have that desire, then we can believe. And then as we believe, we can start experimenting. And in 152, it says, now we will compare the word unto a seed. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out of by your unbelief, that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel those swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me. Now behold, would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea, nevertheless, it hath not grown up to perfect knowledge. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and begin to grow, then ye must needs say that the seed is good. For behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and begin to grow. And now behold, it will not this strengthen your faith? Yea, it will strengthen your faith. For you will say, I know that this is a good seed. For behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, are you sure that this is a good seed? I say unto you, yea. For every seed bringeth forth unto its own likeness. Therefore, if a seed groweth, it is good. But if it groweth not, behold, it is not good. Therefore, it is cast away. And now behold, because ye have tried the experiment to plant of the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, ye must needs know that the seed is good. Now behold, it is your knowledge perfect? Yea, your knowledge is perfect in that thing, and your faith is dormant. And this because you know, for you know that the word has swelled your souls, and you also know that it has sprouted up, like your understanding doth begin to be enlightened, and your mind doth begin to expand. And so, you know, that goes back to lecture 5. What is that, or lecture 3, when it talks about the attributes of God? You know, what do we plant in our lives? Are we planting those seeds from God? Are we planting that Holy Spirit in ourselves? And as we plant that, you know, we know that, you know, if Alan plants corn, he's not going to expect to harvest soybeans, because corn produces corn. And so, you know, in our lives, if we plant the Holy Spirit within us, we're going to get God-like attributes. We're going to get kindness. We're going to get goodness. We're going to get mercy. We're going to get love. We're going to get all these attributes of God. Because that Holy Spirit is the mind, the glory, and the power of God. And those are the types of things that we will harvest if we do that. Now, many times when people think of faith, and a lot of times the world thinks of faith as synonymous with belief. Well, really, faith is much more than belief. Faith is one part, or belief is one part of faith. It might be the stepping stone of faith, but faith and belief are not synonymous. You know, taking belief is not faith as much as hydrogen is not water. You know, belief takes, or faith takes more than just belief. It takes action. And when we look at Peter, when he walked on water, he didn't truly have faith until he took that first step on the water. You know, he might have said, "Yeah, God, I believe that I can walk on water." But that belief was not a driving force within him until he took action. And so it takes more than just belief. In the book of James, chapter 2, you know, he says, "Show me thy faith, and I will show you my faith by my works." Our faith needs to be more than just a belief. Because if it's just a belief, it's not perfect. And it requires action. It requires us to do something. If we truly have a faith that the commandments and the things that God has called us to do are because He is kind and merciful and good and full of love and truth, and He's not a respecter of persons, then we'll do those things. And if we don't have faith strong enough to do that, and it's our responsibility to grow that faith. We can grow that faith by working with each other, by hearing the testimonies of each other. And we can grow that faith by reading the scriptures and hearing the experiences that those that have gone before of us have had. And we can experiment upon that. And as we experiment upon that, and upon those things that we hear, our faith will grow. You know, the scripture that I read to begin with says that if you have faith, you can do all things which are expedient unto me. Now I speak to the ends of the earth, which I think speak to our times, that if the day comes that the power and gifts of God shall be done away amongst you, it shall be because of unbelief. If we look at the times that we live, it's not a common occurrence that we see the gifts. It's not a common occurrence that we see those. And the reason is because it's not because they're not happening. Because they are. But the reason is because we've lost faith. So many times in the country we live in, we have everything we need. You know, or if we don't have it, we can get it. We can get it by on our own needs, on our own will. And so we lose faith in the God that we serve. Because we can take care of it ourselves. You know, Frank Sinatra sang a song, "I did it my way." And I think that's the way we live. We do it our way. We're responsible for taking care of our needs. And because of that, we've lost faith. And so that's something that we need to remember. That if the gifts of the Spirit aren't something that we see on a regular basis in our lives, we need to evaluate. We need to think about that. So why is that happening? Why am I not seeing these things? We need to remember that if we aren't seeing them, then it's our responsibility to strengthen our faith. And if we aren't seeing them, it's our responsibility to strengthen the faith of those around us. So that's why I want us to think about this next week. Where am I in this perspective, in this? Am I one that has a knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And if so, my responsibility is to share that with those around me, to increase the faith of those around me. Or am I one that does not have a perfect knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And if that's the case, that's fine. Your responsibility is to go and to seek out those that have that knowledge, that your faith might be strengthened as well, that we might see those gifts of the Spirit in our lives on a more regular basis.
Thank you, Nathan. It's wonderful to have the ministry of the 70 back within our congregation again. In closing, would you turn in your hymns to hymn number 7, "Praise Ye the Lord," the second tune.
Father, Lord, thank you for this time that we could each gather in this place for worship. We thank you for allowing your Spirit to dwell here with us, to encourage us. Thank you for each that is gathered here. And I pray that your Spirit might accompany them. And thank you, Lord, for the words that were shared through Nathan. And I just ask that you will help us to remember the importance and the value of praying for each other so that our faith may increase, that our faith in you will become stronger. I pray now as this service ends that you will be with us until we can come and meet together again. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Left at the house, and mine was actually red, so I couldn't worry about it.